For the fact that we have such a awkward group, Domenico asked me a moment ago, does it not have related to
Now, if you look at the report, you've got it members, it's a two-pager with some question marks, right? Basically, it says, beyond help of the grassroots and then I, it works on the last time. It basically says in point one, this is the first of a package of bills. Who are you guys?
Two-pasting.
Yeah. Okay, so there's something that we haven't covered, if you like. This is the first of a package of bills dealing with the judicial transformation. Yeah. Parliament is engaged with the second bill, which is the judicial commission amendment. And the third bill is the superior court order. Now here Johan must help me, right? Look at the wording of the third sentence in paragraph one. The third bill, the superior court bill dealing with the judicial management of the judicial and the rationalization of the higher court is being negotiated further with the judicial and other stakeholders. And it is likely that a new version of this bill will be brought to the Senate next year. Is that what he's looking to say?
Yes, it's reasonable. Of course, it's also taking this white paper on the judicial transformation that's the court.
Why don't you say the white paper is okay so they can form the process of I've spoken to the Deputy Minister and he said to me that it's not really a new version. That from my understanding, it's the same bill that's going to come back in some form or another. But I'm not sure, you know, how one works this thing. Because it mustn't be seen, I'm going to be very clear. This committee, and I'm ruling on this very fact, we cannot have a situation where every time it appears in the programming committee that this committee is not taking control, it's not a rule we can attend to. It's not even a debate about it, that's the rule that applies. It's not a reflection on me as a committee chair. So that is why I said a new version. But it's not a bill that, you see, on the record, we showed this bill has been here since 2015. We're dealing with that matter and we're coming with a resolution next week. But
okay, yeah, I'm not sure the value of most of point one. I mean, this is a report on the bill before us, the judicial education bill. So talking about all the other bills, we can say it's a package of bills aimed at facilitating transformation. As you're aware, Chair, from the study group side, we've had some discussion yesterday, and there's a further meeting that's scheduled to take some of the matters further about the other bills. Is it actually then necessary?
You want to drop it?
I would have thought after the yeah.
Right. Anybody object? Okay. The next one simply says that the bill emerged from the process of extensive consultation and negotiation to determine if substantially agree with it. Any questions? Point three, we welcome the institute formation and welcome the bill. Point four is, we think the bill is basically sound. It's actually a bill we have made very, very few changes. In fact, frankly, cannot be called a bill that we've made fewer changes to. I don't know how it's coming. So it's really very simple. The amendments affected are not substantial and do not affect the underlying framework of the bill. We explained that we thought to change the composition to include extra magistrates and to ensure that people are designated by a particular entity. We explained that the new clause 11 could be a reading of clause 5, but we would like to draw attention to the amendments of clause 12 to the effect that it will not be possible to appoint a serving judicial officer or a judge discharged from active service as the director of the institute. Now, is it correct to say like that of a judge discharged from active service? Can you take that question now?
This clause is sitting right now, just follow. Is this saying that?
Yeah.
About the retired judge here. That's
right. Yeah.
Doesn't it mean that.
You can go ahead and judge.
I don't think you could get from a vision.
You're absolutely right. That did occur to me. I didn't want to throw it into the pocket because I just feel that, hey, there's a
position
in our
but the truth is,
yes,
you can say that we need to
remove
the committee is of the opinion that we ought not to make provision, a specific provision for a judge to be a committee.
You're right. Can anybody comment on that? Is that wrong? Strictly speaking, Jenny, Lloyd, Bullerman, they can do it. It's just that we're not specifically saying they should.
Or should not.
Yeah. So therefore, we should read differently, shouldn't it? It should read something like, however, the committee would like to draw attention to the 11th clause 12, into this clause 11, and then put full stop and then say, it flows from the committee's view that. Out there, something like that.
Yeah.
Which is not appropriate. So point of study. Can that me? Yep.
We can put it explicitly and let you consider having it paragraph in the room the options also because once the act has been interpreted, but of course I don't know whether the court is referred to the court of the committee, but it's
what are you suggesting? Where do we do it?
That we at least put something in the room on the object to show something like when the bill was guilty by the committee, maybe they want to see that.
But the memo is no legal.
No, my understanding is the memo of the object is simply for the bill, and then it falls away. And in fact, that's why we don't even bother to amend it.
Okay, what is the way out? I mean, I just thought really. Partly because I think that there's still negotiations pending with the judiciary, and the NCOP is going to keep this call. We're not on the pressure of the process, we can't do anything without the deadline. Can I get some guidance from members, Dr. Delphos?
I wonder whether we just should not say anything. and leave it to the council there of people who are putting it to ensure you that. Why must we take that decision? Ultimately, the council is not keeping that the institute is a right property. And I'm not sure that we might do their work for them. They feel that council is not a good judge of bias. And be more active than some of the other elderly people. It's their responsibility to mention the annual report.
What do other members feel? Should be removed or not? Why are we... What's wrong with you today, Bolivar? You okay? What is it? Not at the right time, I think. How could this be...
I'm so trying to
add one of it. Yeah. See, nobody's going to see any of the statistics. I think given the strength of the view of the majority party, that we should say something. But Rick and I will ultimately talk about what is right. We can start to make this effectively done. Which struck me, by the way, because I put the phone down on you yesterday. Remember? We finished. And it struck me, actually. But to say, because I have a draft this is a report. But actually, this doesn't help solve the problem, but it meets the needs of collective decision making. I mean, this is our view.
You were going to make a proposal?
No, then actually we need it as a
Okay, can I just. I
actually make the amendment flowing from Dr. Delphos input,
yeah.
But we not removing it from our report.
Okay, what is the amendment?
The amendment says. I would like to go to the amendment of clause. So we have to explain why we made the amendment. See, that's the point.
Yeah.
So you say it flows from the view of the majority of the committee that it's not appropriate to appoint a certain judicial officer. So the majority meaning the majority party, because the DA obviously doesn't agree.
Yeah. No, because just the way it's worded, it would not be possible.
Yeah,
incorrect.
I know that
Oh, you agree? That's my view as well, that we should, the judge should not be appointed.
Oh.
The question is, isn't it the responsibility?
Yes, yeah, I think so. We think it's a view of, it's a feeling of the committee, you know? Let's get a majority.
It's not on this issue, it's
okay.
On the second issue when you say the chief executive officer of the institute and as the head of the institute.
Because he's not the institute.
He's not the head of the institute, he's the head of the administration.
Yeah, you're right. Isn't that right?
So we're amending 11A.
Yeah,
employer director as the administrative head of the institute. Is that what we are saying?
Yeah.
I'm here.
So let's be very clear what we're doing. We are saying 11. Where we are not, we are directed to head of the office. So you see, I understand that we're also going to employ a director to head the institute. So let's go to 12C. The director and the administrative head. And then go to 11A. Employ a director to be the administrative head. Is that okay? The committee holds the view that such functions are distinctly removed from those associated with the Holy Judicial Offices. Judicial Offices are not compatible with the office of a judicial office bearer. And should a judicial office bearer be appointed to this position, blah, 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 right? Potentially at risk. The same applies to judge discharge from the take up that position. The next one is trivial. It simply asserts that the same is the connection of the union and that the policy is determined by the council, which is the main discussion. And then the committee understands that the department is working work on the cost. Work on the cost of implementing the bill. Obviously, it would be unreasonable to expect a precise costing to have been completed at this stage, but we are concerned that there's not even a broad estimate of the cost. Is that a reasonable thing to say? Then this we agreed on, I suppose. The DQ will be the accounting officer, but the committee expects that when the DQ reports to the committee, there will be between the DQ and non-executive representative of the council of the institute and the institute director will account for the committee. Is that acceptable to them? Okay, I thank you for that. This is really about things that I want to be sure that we can agree on, or that we're ready. Okay, so then we are finished. Okay, then I go to the formal courses, slowly. Most of the variability is right. That in the opinion of the committee, legislation is desirable to establish a... You know, I want to say something, by the way. We need to discuss these things. which has happened yesterday.
I agree.
From the old order, we sit here for hours processing the bill, and then we come and say, is there the bill desire?
Yes, I agree. But Chair, why do you, when did you have your sex changed? Well, look at the bottom.
Hurry!
Oh. That's okay. I mean, by providing judicial education for judicial officers. Now, all of you, please get the answer. To provide for the administration and management.
Chair, we can read.
No, I'm told formally the rules are at the your rules, Chair.
Your rules, your rules.
And for the regulations, I have to provide for matters connected there. Okay, that's good for you. Move up. Do you think the bill is desirable? JK does what? Why do you think it's desirable?
Because we need judicial training.
That's the first thing.
Chair, just this gender issue, it's got nothing to do with the Gender Commission coming later, is it?
Then there was taking through the poll. Now, we're going to do the meeting that you have to look at this thing called SB01107, the poll amendment. And then we look at the original version of the bill with numbers. And I take it that you see you've been through it, and Lolly, you've been through it, eh? I went through it to the past. I think it's that apart from the two amendments now, you check the future. After a while, you talk to anybody else here on the Lolly, did you go through the text?
I just noticed that this SB whatever, yeah, doesn't have the amendments to the preamble.
Let's come to the end.
Is it? Okay.
The idea being the process being
okay.
That you first deal with the
okay. Alright.
You come back to the end. I got to deal with my. It's quite tiresome though.
Okay.
By the way, I'm responsible for these rules more than JP.
No, I was going to say, can't we, I don't know what you normally do, can't we look at this one? Because that's got the two together.
Yes, but we have discussed that, and, okay, it's really very informing. But the reason is because we need the anal system to avoid topographical diseases at that time. This is the standard way we
okay.
And that too means
okay.
That Parliament will have to think through it in the context of this. This is how the Microsoft works. Have I been explained to you?
Yes, the A-list reflects the precise place where the table is.
Now, I know what it is.
And the possibility of errors cropping up, what has happened.
I just think the possibility of errors is less if you look at the actual integrated one, which would be the B version of the bill, than the A version. But that's my personal view. Maybe if the rules are expressed and otherwise, because you can think this is fine, and then if you haven't cross-checked it,
I'm just worried that the research has done it, but we can discuss it after.
Okay.
Oh, but the research has a family challenge. That's right. Oh, sorry, I apologize. I completely forgot. Actually, this is SMS me. But she actually has a family challenge.
The changes in this draft A list is precisely what is contained in the consolidated bill. So if it could go into the consolidated one,
and then take
A list as a formal to the best of our ability, my ability, I'm sure that the only change that are in the consolidated one is a
requirement. When we adopt the consolidated version of the survey for processing in this committee, but our understanding is that you will use the A-list system to then subsequently process it through the structures of knowledge. Can we do that? That's right, but to make things easier, we want to do the two processes. In fact, we go through the Microsoft version, and then there might be better situation. It is just we first, and then the formal adoption will be easier. Okay. In that case, turn to the Microsoft version, which is dated In that case, we can go to the text of the preamble and everything, right?
Okay, so the preamble has a sentence. Any issues? Then on the difference of constitution, council departed the picture on the definition. Any comments? Object of the act. As it was, assembly issues as it was, chief of issues as it was, functions of issues A to E remain as they were, but then F comes in, and he deletes those things. Establishment of council as it was, composition of the council, we then have to be blocked to re articulate the changes and policies, and fine as it was, except that in subsection 3, 7, 3, instead of redesignated, we could designate again, right? Then 8, oh yes,
Dr. 7-1-C.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that we should really take that it's not the first.
Okay.
Okay.
So
I mean, it's light-hearted, but would it not be a judge or any other person designated?
Yeah, very good, Dr. Chapman. Very good. You're reading that sentence, right? A judge? Dr. Chapman, very quickly, I can't
remember. Sorry for taking you back. 7.A.
7.A?
Yes.
Yeah.
Will that be good when you say the chief justice as the chairperson and head of the institute? Because I think that's what he really wants.
Just make the sentence unreal, but if you want to do it and you know it's fine, use it as chief and head of the institute. You just say deputy chairperson. Right. You see, we're not dealing with the institute, we're dealing with the composition of the council. Okay, what do others feel? I mean, I don't want to be there. Okay. And I'm just very useful for what you've done, but I can't understand the way you can change it.
If I shouldn't want to even a judge or any other person, you agree with that? Wouldn't you need to judge that sentence that is implied?
He was arrested in the Eastern Cape of Berlin. That was his gun. And the following day in the newspaper, he was in the US. It said, one trade unionist and a Bendau were arrested yesterday. Okay, so the rest of it is fine, eh?
Yeah. Wait.
Sorry, is there a question that you would like?
I was just checking whether we change the 2A under the function of the institute.
7-2A?
No, under the function of under 5, then you... It's gone. Oh, okay.
What about...
Where it says the director is the head of the institute.
Yeah, we changed it, but okay. If you look at the left clause, it was deleted there and put in another thing.
Okay.
You'll see it when it comes in. Okay, then we go to 8. 8, you know, I don't really do nothing there. 9. 9-1, we simply made it clear that the committee for each of these areas, right?
9-3-D, we ask them to break that up. And then 9-4, it is very clear that the council ultimately can vary a decision of any citizen. 10,000 duties are straightforward. We have this formulation for a while. 11 is where we need to clear that the employing a director to be the administrative head, and that you see later down in 12, it says administrative head 12, so that covers you, right? So let's just eliminate it as is for a while, nothing new in the world. 4B we can leave him altogether as we agree. 13 we leave as good for the most part, but we said the population of 13 2B was clumsy and we reworked that to say that it may not be used as the DJ supposed to, but it may not be used by the department for any other purpose unless the council has been consulted. And that's what the second is the
truth. Yes.
This is the one.
Okay.
Okay, sub 3 and 4 are 5. 5 to 9 are exactly the same except for the imam clause of this, right? In 14, if we can find that actually the minister was consulted with the minister of finance, but the clarity is 15 is as is and hasn't been changed. This is the department's proposal. We need to talk about reimbursement rather than remuneration. 18 is the scene of the institute. We discussed this matter and we feel that the subject to the Herald will act is unnecessary and it's not been done with similar provisions in other bills. 19 and 20 are straightforward. So that's the bill. Any comments written before we have a formal adoption? Okay, then I'm going to take you to the A-list quickly. And now we're looking at the original bill with the changes numbers, lines numbered along the right hand margin, right? So in that case, we will start with the object of the act, and as I understand it, and Johan and Christine will not be there if I left in any way. We are firstly going to be with clause 1, and clause 1 is accepted. On the first page of the history document, which talks about in 4, Roman 11 1 and make it 12 1, that's straightforward one. Now, that's the formal amendment. I take it that the process of selection, I can quickly take it that we accept it, and if there's an offer, anyone else opposed, they will. Put your hand up, right? Then we move to line 40 and we remove the word constitutional development because of that effect of justice. Okay? Then we move to line 15 and we accept the highest judge's religion and then this hand now becomes removed any guidelines. So clause 1 accepted with amendment. Five, good. Okay, clause 2 as is, clause 3 as is, clause 4 as is, clause 5 with the amendment set out. Do you want me to go to each amendment?
No.
Good. Dr. Delphos, don't you want to cross the floor now?
No, I can't.
Clause 7, clause 7 with Antifa. Clause 7 with the amendment. Which is dealt with
that
as well as now.
Now I see the problem.
Something to do with the CP, don't they? My point is, yeah, now we have to make the amendments to each other. Okay. So, a person or a judge, and the other one's going to be then we move on to clause 8. It's as is. turn to page 4, you have to see what these amendments in clause 8 as amended then. Clause 9 as amended. Clause 10 as amended. Clause 11 as amended. It's a new clause altogether. Clause 12 as amended. Clause 13 as amended. Clause 14 as is. Clause 15 as is. Clause 16 as amended. Then we go to the preamble. The preamble is rejected and it's replaced with a new preamble which we accepted informally, and the long title which we accepted informally and now accepted formally. So the bill as a whole, the movement is tender. And the report we have accepted, the report is amended, and you open on the fourth.
No, you. There was a movement seconder for the amendment.
No.
I didn't hear whether there was any. I mean, we didn't vote. No. Whether there were any objections.
No, I think there are. This is already reasonable. But I can do it formally if you like, okay? Objection. So I stand up and.
Okay. Dr. Björn, I would like to hear your.
Thank you all. Thank you, Commissioner Björn and Herman and his team. All of them were yesterday and not yesterday. You can wear our thanks. Now, please don't bust it up. So, we had this experience, and Christy and Lolly and I will be thank you very much. Hi, everybody, for your cooperation. Okay, everyone. We'll help you.
Please, I'll call you. You don't even message. I'm from Turkle, baby.
Who cares about his thing?
Thank you. The Gender Commission, chair and team that is here, and to apologize for the delay in getting there, but unfortunately the program is out of which is not picked up on the whole I should also explain that this is not to impress you, but I have time here responsibility and I have negotiated 6 months for the next 3 days. But if I really want to impress you, I must say, I think I'll go down the Guinness Book of Records. I used to leave, I want to know how many parliaments in the world, 15 billion of each other. When Sue was here and we had the trial for 1997, for the first year, I used to leave parliament around 12 on the back page, and be backed by two Larry Cook. So at least four days a week. So, but really, I not because of the Gender Commission, Azar and all these people, because of the children I have to meet. So I shall be meeting here at about 12:15. So we must allow it time to share the meeting for 1 o'clock. So to communicate to you, the understanding would be that we would have like a 5-10 minute break at 11:30 for a tea, so this, and then we'll have a short study group meeting. So the method that we learned yesterday was taken from testing forward today. And I'm going to speak to you on that. But to also probably address the challenge that we, in our letters to communicate about this is going to be institutionalized, even if I'm not chairing it here, presumably the committee will remain largely the same. And this is the fourth quarter of the year, and it applies to everybody. Annual reports, whatever the limits of the growth, annual reports cannot be given. The PFNA requires the parliamentary committee to look at the annual report. So this fourth quarter will become a standard. We will consider your annual report in the fourth quarter of the year. The second point to make is that we don't think it's useful just to listen to you and then leave annually in. What we are seeking to do within the constraints of the capacity of the government is to write a report on your report for consideration in the House. The matter that we have not finalized yet and we'll discuss it later, I think we should actually report on our report to the House, never to take it. What are we doing all the reports? The report of the department and all the issues that fall under us. Can we finish with the NTA and come to the paper earlier in the year? So the report to the House, that's just in terms of the report to the agency. We also want to say in our opening remarks that it's not just we are responsible only for holding you to account for the use of public funds and for the question of the constitutional legal mandate. It's the reverse also. You have to tell us what it is you want us to do as a parliamentary committee. Yesterday, the Human Rights Commission appeared before us and they took specific things that they felt the committee could do in relating to their bigotism. So before we talk, we have to actually have some, what do you think we as a committee can do to assist you to play your role to the fullest possible extent? So, once again, a warm welcome. Since you do not know all of us, we just have to say, we know each other, okay? Our part of trust. But let me say, my name is Julius, having answered the issue of the issue of the government.
From Brakpan, Gauteng.
And then from this the common language is CGE, invocation, CGE. What is the role? Can you tell me where you sit here?
Chief Operating Officer.
I'm the Deputy Finance Director.
Kanama Jasa, Chief Executive Officer, Commission on Gender Equality.
I'm Commissioner Yvette Abram.
The former Commander Commissioner.
Father of the Lishon Commissioner.
Had identified ourselves as a team of new commissioners, and we already were in the process of trying to figure out how can we access children, how we serve them. We are currently constantly bouncing between looking at strategic, conceptual, legal, social, cultural, organizational development processes in order to make sure that we come up with a dynamic and leading organization and try and take the CGE forward. We believe that this holistic approach is going to help us in shipbuilding, but also is going to help us in being effective and being able to measure what it is that we are doing. And I would just like to raise on two issues. The first one is the issue of the location of the Commission on Gender Equality. We all know that Section 182 of the Constitution, that is in Chapter 9, provides for the establishment of this Chapter 9 official. Section 185 establishes specifically and clears that out the terms of service, the conditions, and the mandate for the paralegal parameters of the Commission on Gender Equality. What is important also is that the Commission on Gender Equality, as of 1992, further takes this issue in the Constitution and provides a clear legal frame, and this is enacted in terms of how the institution is created, and that enables us to build the organization, but also to ensure that we are able to build on our money. Especially with gender sexual, gender consensual, community voting and democratization process, and also all other forms of democratic. Now, within this framework, the Commission is of course part of the Chapter 9 family, but it is also part of the National Gender National Framework, that is the Joint Commission in terms of Parliament and the Office of the State of the Children. So we treasure a number of funds. So it is important for us to balance that Now, read in this context, one of the issues that has come from the Arctic Committee in particular, but that is also in the country, is the issue of the legal standing of the Commission. The other committee's report on the Chapter 9 institution and related policy says that we do not clearly understand our mandate. Now, we believe that we understand our mandate, and that our mandate, we understand clearly the issue of independence and impartiality as stated in Section 185 of the Constitution of the Republic of Ireland. Nevertheless, we believe that that section, no section of the Constitution can represent completely independent of other portions. So we want to refer particularly to the section that deals with cooperative government, intergovernmental relations, and invite Parliament, particularly the Council, to say, if you look at that particular provision, we therefore would like to see our relationship as an independent statutory body as complementary rather than independent, that is constitutional, and independent that prohibits us from cooperation. Now we believe that if we take a mature and holistic approach to understanding of the relationship of independent and interdependent, we'll then be able to see that this matter is actually quite complex and is also quite simple to grasp. Commissioner Nerutti, as I told you, Kimberley not only has fake diamonds, but also doesn't have good airlines. We therefore think that as a service committee, we'd like to be very creative and actually very daring and bold and imaginative in terms of how we therefore look at implementing our mandate. We invite you, honorable members, to join us in this kind of partnership. We know that we're a community that is oversight and that is accountable, but we also invite you to offer us ideas to say, but we think we could do this more effectively than any other. Needless to say, I have learned that social independence that weighs heavily on one side or the other, it's simply not going to work. It truly is not going to work, because even though we're different and clearly stated mandates, there is a larger mandate, larger than Parliament, that is larger than the executive, that is larger than all the institutions that are established by the constitution, that is that of building the nation of South Africa and building democracy. And I think if you take that approach, we're going to be able to have much more collaborative relationships and still maintain the integrity of our institutions. As we proceed with this discussion of the constitutional gender equality, we are wanting to look at a broader discourse that borders on interpretations, legal discourse, particularly in international law, constitutional law, and look at the different precedents. Now, we lack in the constitutional gender equality, and everybody else is going to say, our situation is very unique. But we think that actually the principles of law do apply quite similar in different situations, but obviously it depends what is the particular context and how you apply it. We also believe that independence is social, political, and historically constructed. And we believe that in the work that we are trying to do as a commission now, that independence is going to begin to emerge. And that is not so much about something on the top of our voices or on microphones and loud hailers that we are going to be able to be assured of that independence, but really would like to be judged by the work that this term of commissioners is going to do. Also, I would like therefore to put a question before this committee that, and I'd like it to be as direct as possible and blunt as possible. And basically say, in the past, all parliamentary institutions have complained about the ability of parliament to facilitate the role, their ability to deliver on the mandate that they are given. And would like to ask, if we're saying we're going to have a collaborative relationship, we're saying that we're going to have a meaningful and deeper relationship, we therefore want to ask very clearly to you, how well can this committee help us facilitate that? And by saying that, we're not saying, we're going to come on the side of the fence with us and you talk with the same words with us. We're saying that we have a responsibility. And how do we make sure that you assist us and we assist each other within the House of Parliament? And how do we ensure that in doing that, the dignity and the integrity, which is enshrined in the section, section 185 of our constitution, of this particular commission is protected? Because I have to confess that some of the way in which we have been handled by Parliament, particularly in the actual committee review, it is scandalous, I believe, that actual committee review was presented to the South African public even before the patronized institutions were given an opportunity to comment. I would like to believe that Parliament would not like to be reviewed by the structure that is constitutional and not have an opportunity to comment on that issue. And I think that we need to talk about the thing very frankly and look at how we all of us safeguard our money, but at the same time respect the issue of collaboration and also the integrity of the institution. We have already noted for ourselves that we have a lot of work that is cut out for us as a commission. We also have already identified a lot of issues that have come up in our annual report, and a lot of issues that we identified in the last committee, in the last delegation committee, particularly those that deal with institutional weaknesses, like colleagues will talk about those issues. We have identified thematic areas, and we would like now to ensure that our strategic plan talks to our thematic area, and that our thematic areas and strategic plan talk to our overall mandate. And we, even before you ask us, are you consistent with this, you ask us very consistently. I'm very pleased to announce here that we were happy amount when we came into the committee of gender equality, that we managed to withdraw a conference that was already underway by the CG on gender based violence, because we couldn't see it in our strategic plan. We didn't have clear authorization from national treasury. And ourselves, we said this is not in the interest of the organization. And together with management, we agreed that we were not going to proceed with that. So I'm simply trying to say one of the messages that we'd like to put across is that we are trying to put in place very strong governance processes and procedures to ensure that we're able to do what we'd like others to do. I've already talked to the other committee simply just to say that we really would like to have an opportunity, and we know that some of these political candidates still have to go through the report, Parliament has to go through the report, but certainly that when the report comes to Parliament, we'd like to appeal to you that we are given an opportunity not simply just to come and answer questions, but to present our response. And if you look at our response, it's a very different response, and we're not defensive at all. We're very clear about what we want to say. Finally, in closing, I simply would like to say that for me, the inspiration for this work right now in Zavatsa comes from a poem by a Ugandan woman. She says, remove the obstacles in my path. And she says, I'm not asking for food, although I could. I'm not asking for money, although I could. I'm not asking for roads, although I could. I'm not asking for potholes to be filled, although I could. I only ask that obstacles be removed on my path. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Can we hand over to the commission?
The theme that we are working on are gender-based violence, poverty, HIV and AIDS, good governance, and caste, religion, and tradition. The annual report that we have in front of us right now, if you look at it in relation to the department, there is no synergy. Each department is doing its own policy. What we intend to do now in relation to that is that this research looks at poverty. Our education department will work on poverty. Our legal department will also work on that, so that everything speaks to each other. We are quite excited about this way of doing things, and to the extent that this coming week we'll be having our midterm review in relation to what happened. So that it feeds into the final strategy plan. And we will keep you posted, as you said, as we said. We'll also send you the copy of our strategic plan for this year, so that when you look at our report next year, you can also look at the outcome of the strategic plan.
We will take you with a load.
Yeah.
Also, this is an issue because we've got a report by one of our researchers. You can come to you or take up here. We will send you a copy of it as well. And members have read the report because it was just here for a while. I must say, I read about 2 thirds of it. I'm not going to check and so on. But this thing got to us only this morning. And not even did this come. Yeah, you see, unfortunately, this is complicated in there, but this one we can't really comment on because we haven't read yet. But the report we can comment on, and I'll look at the next one.
Good morning,
I'm Andrew
from my colleagues. As he says, our focus is on effective governance, and both looking internally at the CPE and internal corporate governance, and then both externally our mandate with regards to doing governance in relation to gender equality. First of all, to put up front also on the table, as you see, that came up in many of the reviews of the Gender Commission review, started in the past challenge of not having our internal corporate governance in mind. You see, if you think that in the ad hoc reviews report, challenges around decision-making and power and decision-making authority, where does that lie between the chairperson, the commissioner, the secretary, and the prevention officer? And that has hamstrung the huge flow of decision-making and has added disruption in relationships between the Gender Commission. We've also seen, experienced a severe problem with staff attrition. I think that's something that's come up clearly in our reviews as well. Impacting on our ability to retain staff, to be a part of staff, or to manage staff. So what we've done as the research commissioners is we have drawn a terms of reference for an organizational diagnosis. We've drawn heavily from AIRPOP committee findings and reviews done by civil society advocacy programs, looking at a range of issues related to internal governance. Drawn up terms of reference to drawing in a consultant to assist us in going through looking at these sets of issues and developing very clear recommendations for us to set up a summary and table to address these issues of corporate governance. Related to that is our internal set of policies and procedures. We have inherited a document that is riddled with contradictions, and we're going through a process now of looking at that, reviewing it,
getting clarity on which sections need to be completely overhauled. So we're looking at this combination both of external eyes, doing on reviews, looking at internal corporate governance, best practices, decision making authority, as well as our own internal policies and procedures that we're setting up governance internally as a new company. We need to look at our mandate externally with regard to governance. You know, very clearly we have this mandate to be monitoring the public and private sector and related state institutions, to review the extent to which they're promoting gender equality in the status of women. What we're essentially looking at from the ambit of government is looking at transformation within departments, within municipalities, the extent to which obligations with regard to promoting gender equality are being complied with. At the starting point, we've had a wonderful introduction with the Joint Monitoring Committee of Parliament. We've already agreed upon a joint process together where we're going to bring together the Gender Commission, the JNC, and the OSW to look at each of our strategies mandates, but there are also potential areas for overlap and potential areas for collaboration with regards to looking at strengthening our national gender machinery and the role that each of us plays in taking forward this mandate and agenda of promoting gender equality. So we're very pleased to have that relationship cemented and getting clarity in areas of collaboration and clarifying there. But then just ourselves internally, how we interpret this mandate with regards to governance. We've identified four areas from the monitoring of legislation, looking at departments, the extent to which they comply with the international framework, looking at gender mainstreaming, looking at women's representation, looking at judiciary, media, political parties, the private sector. How are we interpreting our mandate here? What are we examining? We're essentially looking at policy and programs within these different sectors that I've outlined to critically examine to what extent they are promoting gender equality in the status of women. We're also looking internally within those structures, whether it's political parties, the judiciary, or a municipality. To what extent are we seeing transformation? What is the culture within those institutions? We're looking at budget and expenditure. We're looking at women's representation and transformation. And essentially, this set of issues is largely a research and advocacy component. Again, a strengthened departure from previous years where we've been very solid on research and delivered very solid commitments. But it's seen what has happened with those after they've been done. New approach here is working in solid partnerships with civil society. We can only benefit from drawing on the strength and experience and knowledge of organizations within the civil society sector to work in collaboration with them in addressing these sectors of disease. Yes, we are research, yes, gather our statistics, but then what do we do with that? Bringing that back to the community, bringing it to other women's portfolios, engaging with civil society organizations in the women's sector and joint advocacy and so that's just to give you a sense of framing of how we tackle the issue of governance and gender equality and how we interpret our mandate in that regard.
Thank you. Coming from that, Chair, there are very specific questions that we'd like to give with the council and certainly would like to follow up on that. There is legislation that has passed that goes with the review of the Gender Commission Act. There is also an issue around government departments and compliance. We would like us to think together about how to deal with these issues with government, and certainly whether there's a need for purposes that actually enforces government to reform these issues. And this is an issue that is not only affecting the city, but it's also affecting other cities. Commissioner Melanie Balani?
And then you're asking to talk on that issue. First of all, when you, after we were established, we were working to establish the legal committee, and then in order to look at all the money from the legal
part of SDPE. So they did not present the committee. And then the other happening of the same to me, what basically doing is complaint, and then it also includes in the next thing. And then what we have looked at, because we did not have the same system in the activities, now we have the same system. And then we were like basically applying to the unhappy needs of the activities. And then we have the same system that we also do the testing, this state and another state. And then we also managed to establish the library to be a staff library because the library, because we cannot allow lawyers to work without reading. And then the other thing that we see as a challenge, you will see the is a custodian of Tesla, is a custodian of the education on AFL at this point in time, and also the issue of the employment. But then in terms of the budget, you find that, you know, those acts are not paid tax on. And then the budget only deals with the CPE Act, the establishment of the CPE Act. You see that as a challenge in this point in time. And then also the other problem that you are experiencing is the monitoring of the equality costs. There are equality costs that have been established in the CPE process that you were to explain to people. But then, because of establishment of monitoring of those equality costs, you find that there are problems, you know, where you find that in some sections, the department, you know, is not cooperative or is not working in partnership with the community. And when you look at the cases, you know, across, you find that most of the cases belong to the equality court, you know, particularly at and then when you come to high court order, you find that, you know, the power is given to the judge to decide whether it matters an equality matter or not. And the only thing that, you know, some of our judges, you know, they come from the old community, they do not understand properly the equality matter. So if the city wants to play, you know, if there is a vibrant role, but then because of the lack of it, find that you are unable to do that. Yeah, basically those are the two things for you that I must talk about.
That was
normal distancing.
Not a
gym.
Okay, that's stopping you. This is Parliament, your Parliament, you can speak for longer. We're giving you the time of everything, so you can do this. But that's not saying hate.
I
think it's a really, what I'll say so far, it's very nice to see. Let's say very nice this approach, which is to ask, you know, several people to speak. Because you know what usually happens? Yeah, the CEO speaks and the chairperson speaks and the others just report. And I wonder, what are things you people doing here? Who is about contribution? I like that, but I think most of us are doing it good. Okay, let's not take your role. I think you don't need
to make. Can we ask Commissioner Shoghi to speak on CPD later when we deal with management issues? Perhaps some of the finance issues we can also
Thank you very much. It's the 10th session on Upper Commission.
I mean,
but I think where should I start is that the new commissioners and the commission, we have developed contact papers for all these thematic areas, which are actually guiding us, assisting us on how we're going to actually move forward. And those thematic areas, I think, the deputy chair actually explains that they are going to inform us in the type of training for the CPD and the type of issues as well. On CPD, I think I'll just summarize some of these issues. And I think that CPD, in terms of how we are seeing it, that the patterns of violence are changing now. Because domestic violence and the domestic violence that was actually promulgated in the past, now we can really see that violence has actually moved out of the home now. The violence against women and the killing that we're seeing, more especially in KwaZulu-Natal, the lesbian killing of women and lesbians and culture and so on, it's actually changing and the shape is changing and it's actually concerning us as a commission. And although domestic violence is happening, but there's a lot of clinics right now, we cannot enforce the person for that we're supposed to ensure. So it's very, very critical. And as a president of the commission, as well, we are changing the way in which we are actually approaching this case. The other critical issue is, yes, men are beginning to contact other men about sexual violence, but there's this backlash from other men to say, why do you do this? We had different forums in different forums. For example, last week when Bumalanga, on Friday, there was a men's forum launching in Ottawa and so forth. But men as well are coming up who are actually abused men in the home and so on. Those are some of the challenges that are actually facing in the commission. The other critical issue, and I think the community is trafficking of women, and I'm hearing people are talking about 2010 coming and so on, there's a launch in 2015 and so on. And what are we saying? If you read the research from the IOM, you can really see that South Africa is a top place for people to be transported, for example, international, our effort in Johannesburg. What are we saying about 2010? How women can benefit from this? What are we saying about trafficking of women? Do we have mechanisms in place? Have we ever asked the organizing committee about their plans in terms of sexual stopping? And I think the gender-based violence committee, we are concerned about all these issues. And I think the committee and parliament could assist us in terms of this. Is this excitement, development, and so on, that there are other issues, shadow issues as well as the new sexual community? The other issue is we're spent as a commission, we can look particularly on issues of gender-based violence, disability, and elderly people, which are very, very critical issues as well. And as we're planning the conference next year, although it's passed by the committee, we've been recommending that our provinces should actually look into some of these issues so we can really see what extent disability and elderly people are actually affected by violence. I think there are linkages. I think our colleagues have actually focused on the linkages as well, that we need to work as a gender machinery as well. There's a lot of discussion in there to try to actually fight this cause. And I think we need to, what we are doing now is develop tight relationships with CPOs, ordinary people, and NGOs that deal with gender-based violence. And so, for example, I would find that there's an NGO that deals with gender-based violence, domestic violence issues, and so on. If they have those complaints, they can always refer those complaints to the commission, but the commission will actually use its power to actually make sure that those perpetrators are brought to court, or maybe refer it to branch of justice. The other issue of actually working with regional leaders, because there's a lot that's happening in rural areas, we have to make sure that violence as well is also kept in that particular area. And then I think the last point is CPV and other committees. We are developing a system where we collect all the complaints. Yes, we have actually collected all the complaints and actually referred them to all the states. But we find that it's also critical that we take those complaints, we have a report, and maybe we take like a national report, present it to this committee or to the committee that is relevant to that particular issue. Except for example, if it's violence related, maybe we find that many hospitals are not actually assisting people who have been abused, then you can refer that particular report to the Department of Health so they can assist us with some So we are saying we have to actually collect this information and present it, but have a place on which we can actually share this information with people who can actually act on some of these issues. Yeah. Then it's a question. Thank you very much.
Commissioner,
you
also just closed
the meeting. Yes, that's where she ended. So the issue on tradition, culture, religion, and spirituality, which is one of our subjects. As people are aware, majority of our people live in rural areas in this country and are impacted upon some of the changes that are happening in the country, and there's sometimes resistance to these changes from different perspectives. And we therefore seek to engage with traditional leadership, with the traditional healers, with the religious sector, and people who may believe in other forms of spirituality, in order that we have a common approach to gender transformation and can collaborate on advancing the cause of our constitution in terms of the equality values. And to this end, as Commissioner Fana has indicated,
just concluded our concept paper, which we finalized next week with our colleagues, which seeks to define and frame how we approach this work. We have already made over calls to the National House of Traditional Leaders to engage with them on these issues, and they have acknowledged our approach to them. We are actually at the moment finding a compelling diaries for us to be a commission and the National House of Traditional Leaders. We have also had initial discussions with the other chapter 9 on culture, religion and linguistic communities. Because sometimes we have challenges where one chapter 9 says one thing on this issue and we say something different on that. And we're seeking to find ways of how we harmonize our approach to this issue with our sister chapter 9. And I think we will obviously, when we send the final start plan, indicate also with these concept papers how we are seeking to take this process forward in terms of consolidating the work that we are doing.
Thank you.
We want to
look at two now. Commissioner Abrams, and then
thank you, honourable members. I have the honour of being chair of the poverty committee, and the first thing I did was to look through the work that the CGE has been doing on poverty, and in fact, the poverty next to gender-based violence was formed as one of the most important themes for the CGE. So this way back in 1998. So I'm in the fortunate position of having something quite solid on which to build. The Poverty Committee, in its input to our strategic planning process, looked at, because as you know, women are the poorest of the poor, so I don't have to explain why poverty is a gender issue, but it looked at what are the things to which women are prevented access. Where are the blockages that prevent women from lifting themselves out of poverty? And we identified four critical areas, namely access to land, access to water, access to sanitation, and access to transport, meaning a particularly cheap and safe public transport. Because those are the sort of building blocks that research, both here and in other countries, has shown. Land, quite clearly, there's a very close link between access poverty and income poverty. We're in a bit of a difficult position when it comes to monitoring because there's no national definition of poverty that is agreed upon by all different sectors of society. But certainly, using, for instance, the UN definition, there's a very, very close link between access poverty and income poverty, and that is why we started with land. Now, so the CGE has not only a monitoring function, it also has a research and education function. And there will be times and places where if the Commission feels that quite frankly the Department of Land Affairs can use some of our public education, then we feel we would go forth and do it. That is a bit of a change from the way the previous Commission has worked. But as our acting chair said, when we think of, while we safeguard our independence, we do not necessarily see that independence meaning that we're going to sit on the sidelines and continue. If there are ways in which we think we can help, then we're not going to be afraid to do so. Water, of course, well, as you're aware, DRAF has a continual pattern of understanding. Sanitation, most unfortunately, responsibility has been laid upon local governments, and there are so many ways in which saying local government must do it is almost the same as saying it's not going to be done at all. So they may require slightly different approaches, similarly with some aspects of transport. But certainly with land reform, we have the political will, we have a commitment on the part of the executive, particularly in country 2014. And what we think is needed is the how, the nitty-gritty, the what square meter in each district, and how is that going to be relocated. Now, saying all that, you may think that there will be other portfolio committees that we would be working with, but an issue that is very close to my heart and where this portfolio committee can assist us is the poverty of the CGE. As you know, since inception in 1998, the Commission for Gender Equality has had an A2 grading, meaning our previous chairperson served for 8 years being paid less than the chairperson of all the other Section 39 commissions. We do not know why the treasury. Yes, we do not know, but we feel it makes a statement about how serious this government is about gender equality. And unfortunately, our small review has not been tabled, but it states really clearly. We have 55% of the Human Rights Commission budget. We have 45% of the OPP budget, but we are held to the same standard. Now that concerns me a little bit. And if there are ways, what I'm trying to say is not just an equality issue, it's an efficiency issue. As you can hear, we've got big plans. We are working hard. But really, at the end of the day, it comes down to the efficiency. If I do something for poverty, I have to take resources from some other commission. And it's really making life very difficult for us. We have some tough choices as we go into finalizing our strategic plan and our business plan. So on that note, thank you.
Thank you very much. I think the issue of policy, I think it's a very important issue, and it has been before the committee for a long time. People have made space in every angle, and it's one of those issues that we'd like to be moving on. Because it's not just the issue of budget, it's also about, it's about the state of the community, it's about the relationship with the professional structures in other countries, like the Human Rights Commission, for example, like the Madrasa Commission, the other members of the African Commission, the CGE does not have that kind of thing. So it's those kind of issues that we'd like to see to really explore and talk about.
Thank you. I'm specifically talk about ICT as well as gender. There has been a number of reviews done on ICT, that is our internal communication and so on. And some issues are basically raised about our internal communication, which is not really okay at the moment. Looking at the reviews, a committee was then established to address like IT as well as communication issues, which I am chairing currently. The committee is basically working with drafting an information management system, which will ensure that all our stakeholders, internally as well as externally, receive information when needed and so on. There's also a problem regarding our external communication. We need to build good relations with our media, and that's what we currently working to be. There's also a notion that we actually are not known publicly. Our rural as well as our marginalized communities do not know anything about what we are about and what we are supposed to be doing. We also noted the fact that we need to address, there are certain flaws that we found in our publications that are on our current website, relating to our content, the language interface, and the current ranking of CCE. And we're also looking at utilizing our community radio stations to their full capacity. And the committee has embarked upon developing a media and communication strategy, and we're basically reviewing our current website at the moment. We also busy putting up a proposal for a spokesperson for our committee. We're also hoping to increase coverage despite the fact that our media currently is very patriarchal. Taking into consideration that also the issues of employment equity as well as gender issues, how they are covered, but I would like to say that, since the appointment of the new set of commissioners, there has been certain improvements regarding our coverage. There are certain provincial offices, that have been created, building relations with our media and media sectors back in our provinces. Hence we've got a whole lot of legal complaints coming in because of this that's about to say this and that's coming up in November. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, can we just break for 10 minutes? But members of the panel can remain there after 4 seconds. So, can we ask others to
And in the this document, basically information that's here is about the PowerPoint presentation that I'm going to be utilizing here now, the threat plan 2007-2008 for the current financial year, the budget for the current financial year, the threat plan for the coming financial year 2008-2009, which is a draft copy because we're still going to engage on this threat plan and finalize it. So basically, I would say that these documents are just for information.
Can I suggest something? You see, when you look at the annual report, you don't look at the current year so much, you look at the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can see that the difficulty we have here from the state, you know, place of which alone suggests what this party is facing. You may have a few years ago. Anyway, now, I know what the problem is. I think it's a problem that, let's put it this way, you're not accountable for the financial year under review.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing is you're telling us what you're going to be doing over the next 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
That is an issue that you need to look at. But unfortunately, in the review of the annual report, the main function takes you to look at what happened in the previous financial year.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last section, we say what you're planning to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think try to focus a bit on the annual report and then, you know, set out. But I'd also, can I just say, I'll browse through this one people see. This is nicely done because you're responding directly to the system.
Mm-hmm.
But go for it.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Basically, the first slide is on the mandate, which I wouldn't really want to go into very much because we all understand what the mandate of the Commission on Gender Equality is about. The vision has been revised by the current commissioners. It now reads that the society free from unfair gender discrimination, oppression, and all forms of inequality. And
I love the all forms of inequality. I'll come back to that.
Okay.
The meaning of that, I will understand reasonably.
That's the mission of the Commission on Gender Equality. Mission is about continuously engaging in cooperative and visible partnerships with stakeholders at large, adopting an approach to human resources and institutional development that promotes gendered best practices at work, which are in compliance with labor and equality legislation. Lastly, accounting to South African society through Parliament. The next slide actually looks at the questions that you have actually put forward to us, which we will try and respond to slide by slide. The third question is about key aspects of the CGE strategic plan for 2007-2008 is to provide a range of quality and accessible services. By developing programs to promote access to services to improve stakeholder satisfaction, strengthening outreach services. And this, we feel we have actually achieved it in terms of the assessment of impact. The second one is influencing legislation and policies to be gender sensitive by responding to all legislation and relevant policy documents and the legislation development processes. Along the way, you will come across the kind of submissions that we have actually made as a Commission on Gender Equality, which should actually clearly demonstrate why we are actually saying that we think we have actually achieved this. The second question was on performance of the Commission on Gender Equality in the year 2006 and 2007 in terms of the plan. The third claim that we have said. And basically, what this person wants to know is whether we've been in the position to really cover all that we plan for. And basically, what I would actually just indicate we couldn't cover was the gender-based violence conference and the widowhood conference. Otherwise, we continue to engage with public education and information programs that develop, manages, and conducts information and education programs, including workshops and campaigns for the promotion and attainment of gender equality. We also continue to do research that undertakes monitoring and evaluation research in all provinces with regards to implementation and implications of legislation and gender policies. and programs. So basically with the kind of research that we do as the Commission on Gender Equality, we do research to inform us about exactly what is happening in the sector, and also the same research helps us to manage to monitor gender transformation in South Africa. Thirdly, we also focus in terms of the mandate on legal services that requires us to investigate gender-related issues. And basically, in that area, we did complaints, we did submissions to Parliament, we litigated amicus, and for now, we are actually also looking at litigating directly because of the fact that we have now the law clinic status as the Commission on Gender Equality. The statistics on the national outreach, I'd rather say that we should rather look at national outreach according to this report, and that is on page 35 instead of what we've got on the slide. Page 35 actually shows us exactly the number of participants we have actually managed to reach with our national outreach processes, and that actually gives us 1 million people. And that was the number of complaints that we had handled in the previous year, which was actually totaling 3 to 9. This is complaints distributed according to provinces. And then those are the submissions that we have made to Parliament, which actually looks at impact of the promotion of equality and prevention of unfair discrimination, equality legislation and institutions that promote democracy, the submission on the Civil Union Bill, Sexual Offences Amendment Bill, and the Commission on Gender Equality Act through the Constitutional Review Committee process. In terms of advertising, we handled the cases for First for Women, which was a television advert, Caesar strip club, and Caesar's newspaper. Basically, this has got to do with our partnership with the Advertising Standards Authority of South Africa, a relationship we are currently reviewing. In terms of court monitoring, this has got to do with the Equality Court. In the Eastern Cape, we've monitored 18 courts, KwaZulu-Natal 20, North West 4, Free State 4, Western Cape 10, Northern Cape 8, and Limpopo 25. These are cases that were actually brought before the Constitutional Court through litigation through amicus, which was Silubani 20 Meta, Matia Meta, and the Pensionable Age, which we did in partnership with some of the institutions, including the South African Human Rights Commission.
Ms. Silubani is a member of
Parliament,
is that right?
Yes. That's the case that we actually look at a Constitutional Court level. In terms of research, the kind of research that we engaged in the previous financial year was widows research, which was a survey that were actually conducted throughout the country in all provinces, assessment of capacity and implementation of gender mainstreaming policy in public sector using the annual report card, and developing the gender barometer. Assessment of gender responsive education policy is one of the other research work that we have done, and looking at the education curriculum and women in local government, including HIV/AIDS, that was actually looking at the impact HIV/AIDS has got on the elderly, which was the kind of research that was actually really extending on the work that we have actually done when we are looking at poverty and lived experiences of elderly women in South Africa. Under communications, we did media relations, interviews, press briefings, press conferences, press statements, responding to the media, public relations, website development. We are reconstructing our websites now, development of stakeholder database. which is something that is an outcome of the assessment, one of the assessment reports, to say that we need to actually have strong linkages with stakeholders. And of course, in the presentation of commissioners, what Commissioner Neruti has actually indicated is that the CGE really requires dire branding so that we can actually manage to build that public profile that requires. The next slide is about expenditure in 2006-2007.
The total. In our report covered the ground, we've gone through the report yesterday, so
okay.
We have a few more minutes, 5 minutes more.
Identified areas that require capacity were identified as the area of communication. We have devised a structure in this regard. Building capacity in our HR department. Our HR department has for years not developed because we continue to have the same size of the HR department as compared to when we started with just one office. But for now we have offices throughout the provinces, and the CGE has moved from a situation of having commissioners as four staff members to the total staff complement of 102 currently. We had understanding that was because of the non-appointment of commissioners, which has actually affected the kind of support that we have had this year. Collaboration with Chapter 9 institutions, this continues to be done on project-specific MOUs that are being developed whenever we've got projects that we need to actually share with ASASA. I've mentioned the ASASA issue to indicate that we are reviewing. ASASA is the Advertising Standards Authority of South Africa. I've mentioned it that we are reviewing our kind of arrangement with them. Revision and strengthening of outreach strategy is also something that we are actually looking at. Detailed formulation of goals and objectives around thematic areas as mentioned by the commissioners. Previously the teams were not properly aligned to the threat plan, but currently we are really looking at the process that would actually allow us to manage to infuse the teams within the strategic plan, so that the teams talk to the strategic plan and they actually cut across the various areas of the mandate within the Commission on Gender Equality. One other thing that's important is inclusion of HIV as a thematic area. Previously, we didn't have HIV/AIDS as a thematic area because we just took it for granted that it was actually cutting across all the themes, but to some extent, HIV/AIDS issues were then neglected that are gender-related.
So we need this for now. We come back to this because we're dealing now with the forthcoming year.
Okay.
So I just do this very quickly. So we throw it open to the floor for questions quickly, and I will need about 5 to 10 minutes to present some issues for discussion to share. Also, we will appreciate a new to this portfolio. So there are some things I will raise that this committee has already addressed. So, you know, Helen Schlauer, she's very experienced, she's been here for a very long time. She will say, look, you know, raise those issues. So I'm just going to put it open at least. But we'll allow you to see the prompt that you further with me. So do you want to raise anything first?
Okay, thank you, sir. I think I was particularly pleased and encouraged by the input of the commissioners and the CEO, especially on their strategic emphasis. I think they are very much encouraging. And we hope that when they come next year, we'll be able to interrogate how far they have gone in terms of their strategy. So I think now it will not be fruitful. Except to say that I don't see emphasis. If you want to build this kind of a society that you want, a society that is non-racial, non-sexist, I don't see emphasis on the boy child. Because these are the people who grow up and be responsible for mostly this kind of violence we're talking about. also there was an issue that violence has changed from home to be but is there any authority for that? Have you done any research that indicates that there was that specific change? And is that change resulting in any decline in those family-based violence? Also, on the issue of the library, Coastal Court always boasts that they've got a very good library. The Human Rights Commission told us that they've got a very good library. Why can't you use extranet to try and reduce costs? Rather than the DCE having its own library, the Human Rights Commission having its own library, that you use extranet to reduce costs. And then also as part of your thematic areas, I think it would be good that you play a critical role in the SADC region and in Africa. Because if we are saying violence against women is bad in South Africa, it is even worse in some parts of the African continent. Those are the areas that I would.
Anybody have one quick
question?
I want to come in.
Yeah.
Just have a question from
firstly, I must tell you the quality of the input I see in the field that we're getting here, and what we see in the annual report is a feature. I think it's very unfair on you to hold you to account for the annual report, but we have to say something about the report, which is positively the least impressive report I have seen. In terms of the field for me. It says nothing about your strategic plan yet, what were your targets, how you got to achieve it. So some sense of it, but a very good input you made here. But like Bolalani, you just let's be subjective. I look at it and I say, my look. You know, apart from across what I read all the time, I know the dynamism is invested in this thing, and I have a lot of hope. And I have to judge you on the caliber of the other Bafana, you know, dynamic students. So I'm getting older now. I don't know whether it's going to have that invaded my own town. But the truth of the matter is, I don't know the rest of you, but the quality of what you say and the quality of what you're saying. You see, this comes back to the issue of you want more money. See, let's be very honest, I know half the commissioners, one and half, a third of the commissioners in the first round, and it's been true in the second round, and now it's no true. And let's be frank, let's be honest, the view in Parliament and in the ANC, and amongst comrades outside, is that the gender commission has not been performing on any change. In the public domain, it's also used up as less, you know, the person, and even driven the conflict from the past as well. But they cannot hold you to account for that. You think what you are, my view is, what you are saying, let me speak for yourself, is impressive. That's what Lani says, we can only tell how impressive it is 10 years from now. But I think we can analyze the other commissions today. We should actually just do it to see. Put a date down, 6 months from now. So this 6 months in our report, we will have you again, and can you sit on our report for a full 3 hours today? Today was a bit unfortunate, but there were circumstances beyond our control. And, don't put in our report, but Lolly will ensure they get the best thing. In fact, let's choose the date. Maybe around, Women's Day around 21st of March. Well, what's the 21st of March? Is International Women's Day. Around that time. Let's do it in the first week or two of March. Let's put it into our report. That's what we're going to do. And point out that we didn't have enough time to exhaust the exchange with them. But we welcome the, I mind you, if you think about it. But I think we should welcome overall the input. But we must raise severe reservations about that spot, not consistent with the PSC. And it actually undermines it. I've drawn to the report, quite frankly, you know, pictures in which I just jumped, you know, a lot of marketing things here. But then secondly, we should give you crystal paper, and people are going to pick up on that. There are things that she said, you don't necessarily agree with. but she has the time to spend the time to go through the report. And you know, I think that she would email it to you or put it to you, she would read it for me. We will send you a copy of our report, but because of time constraints, we wouldn't 24 hours. Then can I read it to you? There's something to read from me that we have to deal with. Now the one thing that can be disagreed now, because we discussed this yesterday, you'd like to say, your legislation is not correct. Can you disagree that this matter again? We are asking Parliament, we are asking the executive. I just keep thinking we've changed the jolly this morning. He's responsible for the jolly matter. And he was quite a little, you know, that we bring the, I didn't give the deadline down or something, we're talking about other things that come through now. But I did say, look, these issues are coming up. He said, no, you're right, actually. Let's create it. Okay, we said this is the first week of May. When we come back, in our report, Lonnie, that the bill be brought to us after consultation. Two is that on the issue that you raised on page 25, 26 of your slide, which is overlapping with some of the things that the minister has raised, you're actually asking us to do the following thing. Can you quickly decide some things we can deal with immediately, some things are used for discussion. On point 4, Committee to ensure that recommendations are implemented, fine. We will report on it and we will tell you what we're going to do and you can all ask questions. Access to country reports to enable CG to comment. How can we help in that regard? What do you want to say?
When country reports are implemented, we are often in the to be part of the government resolution or
yeah.
Country resolution. But we see the report there, like everybody said, which creates problems because sometimes if there are issues that are reported there, which we are not
can you do a paragraph
yeah.
on that? You say what you're requesting of us and you will say that in reply that the revision of CGA is covered, access funds to the CGA is you mean our members will welcome that. We would really allocate one of us to work actively with you. What we're doing from this, what we're doing is we are going to by the beginning of next year, each of us have a specific portfolio. So somebody's going to take responsibility for the HRC, somebody for the gender commission. So the person you will deal with will attend your meetings where you invite him or her. That's different. Equality Review Committee, equal secretary given to C9, chapter 9. On this issue, what is the problem that you have input statement, you don't have a budget that goes with it. That's your issue. What do you mean equal what do you mean equal statement? You report to the HRC?
Yes.
Why is that? Who does this stuff? Why did you do that? You tell us you were not here. Remember? You were not here. Why do you do that? What was the reason? Right. Why do you do that?
I remember. At that time, I think the special officer among the question. The gender equality committee is always published in the constitution. And they have
in the constitution, am I correct?
I think.
But not consistent with the constitution.
They depend on
that. In addition to that, we can have, you said that we don't need to discuss the issue of the reverse.
On Monday,
and raise some of the issues.
It's
also the Human Rights Commission and it's operating under the
No, but the thing about
equality. Now, what the issue around that, especially more than the report to the Human Rights Commission, the whole CGF does not even get the name of the committee. In the Constitutional Commission for Gender Equality, in the Ethical Commission for Gender Equality. But not only that, and then you have also the conflict between Treasury regulation and the policy regulation. Now, Treasury is the structure that, or rather, the 15 governors that accord certain grading
And then if you have A1 grading, it means you are at a better level. If you have A2 grading, it means you are at a better level. So I want to make the thing very clear that when we are talking about parity, about all three lines, we're not only talking about obviously the one at this point have the same budget as a human rights commission. Because we would be the one who would like to think about it. Won't have the capacity to execute that. So that is why, in my opening remarks, I didn't talk around the issue of more money as we would come up with in a year's time, because we want to sort out our internal process. But I think when we look at the legislative process, there's a whole range of stuff, and when we had the testing from Treasury, who came to our work with the induction of this commission, you could see that the guy was lost, and that it was going to be smaller than the human rights. So we just put on the now the thing is we could be on the same grade but have differentiated budget. So I think what we'll do is we'll look at the previous submissions that we made, we'll touch base with the Department of Justice, the director that is dealing with this thing, and look at what are the issues that are raised and see whether there are any other issues that we may want to add, and then maybe send that to you.
But you think on our report, not too long, can you give us one paragraph to explain what you want? You see, I have my personal view in discussing, you see a report in the HRC, but it has to be looked as part of the overall report of the Quality Affairs Committee. They basically, I want to tell you, I'm surprised you were not given this news commission. They were not given a report.
It is very unusual. We were told at the committee that the Chapter 9 were given, in fact, the day also. In fact, the members, Christine was still with us, but we received it the day after we had heard that it had been given to the Chapter 9.
Look, we cannot comment on our committee, but what we will note is your feelings, okay? We will just note what you say, but we will not comment on
that.
Can you give us a couple of things, sir? Then, the thing that we need to take further from the members of the commission is that what else do they want from us as a question that they can address later? Then, on staff losses, I think, is this issue, right? Then, you see, the Chapter 9 institutions, we need a more sympathetic discussion on how you can cooperate with politics. We really think that's not fun. Government departments and compliance need for protocol. If you can see something in a paragraph, doesn't it? Then we will comment and support it, okay? On litigation status, if it's a different inequality court, we need a paragraph to choose from you. Then, you may sound very thinking about women in 2010. I think we'll skip that. On your budget, can I just be frank? This is my view. I'm not saying the other thing. I really don't think, you know, to be fair, that, and I'm glad that the minister said what he said. I don't think the committee is well, speaking for myself, I know what I'm saying, could support you to understand what you're saying. But the same status, if anybody disagrees on the street, it's the same thing, it's supposed to be. I don't know why it was that. But on the issue of the budget, you can put down, it is your right, this is your problem, this is the right case to cut. We are going to put pressure on the executive to try to respond to those things that we as a committee are idiots. So, you say to us what you want, and we're going to say on the budget issue, unfortunately, if you're going to say you want to say budget, then we're going to say, okay, you're not going to say. Okay, on the issue of, generally, I just want to, I don't understand this now. Why are you actually here, Professor? Where's that? Particularly, what is going on? Then I'd like a response to that.
Yeah, okay.
Why is
that?
No, but now, shouldn't it become, well, how does it become a chairperson, if that's your...
The president.
So it was the president of the moment.
Yeah, the president.
How long has it been the president?
We don't know. We don't anymore. Maybe we think next year.
No, the question is, there's Department of Christian here, there was one yesterday. All right, look, can I pursue with Johnny since he's dealing with him, just even for this issue, and find out where it is. But do I take it that the commission feels that that issue feels?
finalized. And this is written to the president, and the ministry will say we will pursue this matter further quickly by engaging with our department. And if necessary, the president will come to
you. I saw something on the other paper for communication about the nomination of the president.
Oh, that's right. Continue to look at that. When did the problem solve?
Something on the other
paper. No problem solved.
Oh, no,
no, no. Not yet. All right. Can we look at what's there?
Can I come?
Yeah, go.
You know, I think what happens, the nomination is the nomination of the commission.
I'm not so aware of this fear, actually, at the issue of the Central Evaluation Committee of Treasury and the grading of Chapter 9. I'm not sure if it has been addressed.
No, it's not been addressed.
Yes, it's something that is crucial that needs to be looked at, because for all intents and purposes, it actually discriminates on the Commissioner Gender Equality, because the Chapter 9 institutions in terms of the Constitution are equal. But to some extent, the Commissioner Gender Equality is very low.
Is there anybody who disagrees with this? Because can you go to the paragraph there?
Yeah.
You see, the issue of salaries and conditions not be surely uniform. But the issue of the budget, you have not said it's different. We don't think actually this is blunt that you have shown, at least your predecessors and leaders have shown, that they wanted to see the budget. But if you deliver, then we will be, remember, Parliament is also reviewing the purchase of money for constitutional provisions. There will come a time where our successors, if the new generation is post-2009, they will have at least some modest tempers, not immediate, I would say, full ability to actually change the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to convince the parliamentary committee, maybe, which is the issue of down the road, that you're delivering it. You are, then you're okay with any money. Sometimes I'm very sympathetic to the president, other times not. I don't know what their view is, but we can also pursue it with them. That's my job as a chair of the committee. I can contact the relevant officials and I can speak to the minister and say, look, what is the issue? But you have to deliver something. Now, the final thing is, while you're very impressive here, and you're much clearer and more focused, really, 6 months from now, that you begin to a year from now. So, your job might be also
That an equal system among Chapter 9
schools. No, that is anybody disagreeing with that?
No, yeah.
Can I just say thank you very much? I apologize. I will go through and engage you.
So we've got the education status now. Or if it makes us in a different situation. It's not a crisis, I'm very used because the status is very good. It's an issue, it's not an issue. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
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 Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to the next one. what we are trying to do, and I hope that next year when we meet, your input is very important for most of us, and I can really see great achievements. And I really hope that we can work and be glad together and make that CPE a different commission. Thank you very much.
Maybe before we move away from what has been discussed here, I want to ask a question concerning your litigation status. What does that mean? Does that not mean you require more budget? Because if you've got litigation status, status of a law clinic, I assume that you'll be entitled to appoint or hire a legally qualified person, and also to take candidate attorneys. I'm saying that because I was with Nepila. We got litigation status in Nepila, we hired advocates and two attorneys, we hired the candidate attorneys, etc.
Okay,
one day,
what's
happening?
Our legal officers are attorneys. Yeah, they are all admitted already. And then, but what was happening, they were only working as the complaint officers because we did not go and appeal on behalf of the
people.
Okay. Because we did not have the mitigating status as a And then when it comes to the issue of candidate attorneys, I think it's time for us to evaluate ourselves. Right now, we are entitled to employ candidate attorneys and all that. But at this point in time, I think we need to look at the way we do that, and then we can make it a motivation later in terms of the budget. We want to take it to you. You know, we don't want to start from now. Look, we don't want to grant more than making sure. But what we've decided is because there's been a bit of a confusion about whether we have a situation or not. And our reading of the law is that we do have a situation. So what we've decided is that the few litigation cases that we're going to start are going to be strategic litigation. Now, we are emphasizing that at this point, we don't want to ask for additional budget, but we are aware of the fact that litigation is very expensive. But we would much rather come later and say, this is the ground that we have come, and this is the shift that we have made in terms of our approach on litigation. Therefore, we believe that we have ground to ask for money, for more money on litigation. And that would be one. The second issue is that we are also exploring partnerships with others. Where we don't go, CG has often gone as amicus curiae. But now we're saying we actually would like to go as a visitor. But we would do that in partnership with others in order to share the problem. And we would like to move also more and more towards collective class action litigation. Because that shares the cost, but that also sets precedent in terms of changing society.
The matter of faith is the concern of the commission essentially a little more complex than what we are talking about here. And there will be a time to issue the challenges to complete this I noticed in the report, for example, that the commission is working in this issue. And I just think that the commission should be the focus on this competition. I mean, as one of the constitutional practices of the institution to broaden it, you know, further is to take the coach again, you know, further and further on also the other position to be there, particularly the Human Rights Commission. Talking about, for example, the litigation, the Human Rights Commission also raised the matter of litigation is a very expensive operation, expensive operation. And there is the perception also that much of what the Gender Equality Commission is doing, particularly in terms of litigation, right, is overlapping with the Human Rights Commission. There are many good representations in that particular way. The main point that I'm saying is that I think that the Human Rights Day, the Gender Equality Commission is trying to be more focused on its constitutional mandate.
I think we have actually developed the issue because the person was saying we must not down everything that the king must do, the things that he wants us to do for him. Well, I think when you come back in 3 or 6 months' time, I think you will be coming up with the solution, and maybe from our side we'll be coming up with answers. And I think let's leave this matter now and go forward. Otherwise, I mean, I think that.
I think it's important that you said this. But I think I'll urge the committee member to use the newspaper. Because when we, what the way we capture the vision is to try and align to the work that we're doing in our understanding of the community. And also to capture it in a way that gives expression to what we're doing. So we are not talking our vision. I think it's very important. Mm-hmm. And this issue of litigation and the issue of overlap with the Human Rights Commission, my colleague made this up with me. Overlap is not an issue. There is overlap with the Human Rights Commission. There should be overlap with the Human Rights Commission. There should be overlap with the CRL. There should be overlap with IEC for that matter. And what we're trying to do, and I don't know the Human Rights Commission is the issue, but one of the issues that we discussed on Monday to try and find a way of developing synergy in a concrete kind of way where we can even appear in front of the community together with other communities that is doing the economy as a collective, so that we can show how this overlap can be turned into a positive thing. But I think it's a pity that our S is not here, but I really would like us to look at that S, because that S will show exactly why this communication is not an issue with the but rather complement our work and the work.
And the work is done, that's good. No, I think my friend is not that I said before, you know, because the person has already put the position on that. If we talk of overlap and even the public protector, the overlap is that we are dealing with the public protector, overlap is those issues. But I think the Tata Atman committee or whatever commission is dealing exactly with it. How do you bring about the synergy with all these commissions and all these nine institutions? Let's focus now to our questions. I don't know, Sion, if you can deal with all these questions at the same time. The boy side, library, and the religion, the country, and all of that. Can you just deal with them?
Thank you, sir. Firstly, I will actually deal with the issue of the boy side to say that basically, it might actually appear that we are neglecting the issue of the boycott when we are not. To some extent, when you talk about issues of gender, there will be a dispute on the side of women because of the fact that basically it's women who have been discriminated over the ages. And where it began as girl children. And this is why issues of girl children will have to be looked at in order to avoid them finding themselves in difficult situations when they grow up to become women. But basically, when you actually look at it from the gender perspective, it's very important to deal with boy children, and we've done so as a Commission on Gender Equality already. This is why we talk about really coming up with a generation of men who are actually gender sensitive, and that's part of our gender sensitization programs that actually includes the whole issue of the boy child, how to deal with the boy child, how to sensitize the boy child on issues of gender. And one thing that is good about the issue of the boycott is related to participation of men in issues of gender. And for now, what is actually encouraging is that in South Africa today, we have advanced so much to a point where we've got men as advocates for gender transformation. Another issue was the issue of the library. In terms of the library, indeed, where it's possible for us to actually manage to utilize same resources, we are actually looking at that as a commission of the locality. We have the civil society advocacy program that's being funded by EU, and one of the objectives of that program was to actually create an information management system that is actually managed to marry the processes within the three chapter 9 institutions, the public protector, South African Rights Commission, and the Commission on Gender Equality. We are hoping, if this is to continue, this kind of information system that they are trying to build for us through that program would actually also take into consideration issues of this later, where you can find it. If we've got user space and maybe the South African Human Rights Commission does not have, they can then manage to really work from our own user space. About our role in the SADC group and SADC in African region, we participate in development of treaties and conventions, both in SADC and the region of Africa, because one of our other main responsibilities as a Commission on Gender Equality is to actually monitor South Africa's compliance to these treaties, internationally, regionally, and sub-regionally. We have participated in processes of developing SADC protocols. This year, the protocol that was actually put before the heads of state at the SADC heads of state meeting that was held in July, the CG was part of development of that instrument. We have participated in the process of developing the AU protocol on the rights of women. We continue to participate in processes that are, for example, developing the reporting framework for heads of state on the Solemn Declaration on Gender Equality in Africa. The one issue that is contentious with this is really, as a Commission on Gender Equality, managing to have government processes running in such a way that when there is something that is about a development process to a treaty or maybe a report is coming in from SADC, for the Commission on Gender Equality to manage to receive these reports, to manage to access whatever information we have that comes from, for example, the SADC Gender Desk, the AU Gender Desk, so that all along, we find ourselves being very informed about what is happening. Because what is disappointing for now is that sometimes some of these processes, you actually get them when you go to other meetings, and then you hear them talking about the things. But remember, we are a constitutional body. It is us that the institutions or the NGOs are, for example, supposed to be getting information from us. We shouldn't actually happen to find information from some of these forums when you go for other purposes, only to find that there's this that is now in circulation, but the Commission on Gender Equality didn't even know about it. So by chance, you come across it and then you start engaging on it. And basically, what I actually need to just say, Chair, is that we have actually noted the comments on the analysis of the annual report of the Commission on Gender Equality. And the concern that it's not complying with the Public Financials and Management Act, and we definitely want to respond to the analysis report so that we can manage to really engage on it and see what is it that can be benefited from this analysis, and to give the committee much more light about the work of the Commission on Gender Equality. Thank you.
Did anyone want to add anything? Actually, I just want to add to what the panel was saying in terms of the constitutional court. The constitutional court has offered to ask the constitution in terms of the physical library. But what I was saying in my case is that now we have a clear constitution in this case.
I just want to say that there is concern raised here that we are not dealing with the volunteers, with the issues of the volunteers. And I think this is we probably make an assumption that when we talk about gender, we are also including the volunteers. We probably aren't including the volunteers, and I think we have to be accepted. We need to now start developing programs, because we cannot expect them to grow up and start teaching women and then we can sensitize them. You need to develop programs that look at boy children in a holistic fashion in terms of sensitizing them. And then I also want to say, colleagues, included in the traditional Kumalo, also the issue of traditional Manipala. It's also an issue of this traditional religion and all that. Because that links up with some of them don't want to go for initiation for reason, and they're dragged there because someone says it's our culture. So I want to propose that we, in terms of our strategic work for this this year, we also look into the current issues of the joint time.
The symbol of common development to make was the symbol of knowledge and know to the consent that has been raised by the community on the joint time. And the symbol says that we have drawn largely from the usual communication. Which put emphasis on the girl child. And in many ways, I think that emphasis makes sense. Because when you deal with the girl child, you deal with issues of maybe everything that you see. When you deal with the boy child, you deal with issues of changes of mindset. So I think we take this very seriously, this comment. And certainly we would like to explore it further and to see how the system works in the future. Thank you.
Members? How many members are here? Only two.
You're not correcting.
You think it's that?
Thank you, Chair. I was supposed to leave, but I thought it would be unwise, but because it is another colleague, the Hesh Miner, has not produced that. But my question is, in the submission you've made on legislation, I wonder whether did you omit your submission you made to the amendment of the Children's Amendment Act or your rule that the was there no submission from the gender committee?
That number of NGOs that also, you know, assist in looking forward to the gender of the community itself. And therefore, also, the gender coalition, or of course, the certain aspect of the work of the particular on the ground. Whereas the gender commission, for example, and it will be maybe consistent on division and policy, and on the ground you have a number of NGOs. What is this relationship, right? And what are the outcomes? I mean, do we see something happening there? But if I look at the impressive, you know, list of workshops here and conferences that include a number of these NGOs.
Can I add a question? On the education, there's something that is on the edge now, that is developing. I don't know if you have picked it back up. That is going to be talked about too. What is your view on this? In terms of having that increase, that is the curriculum at school.
Definitely. Can I answer that specifically and then we can deal with it very soon? We take our money from the constitution. The constitution is a guiding document and it supports the right to be here and the right not to be here in any form of human creation. And I'm putting my foot in here, but that's what the constitution says. This is what we call it, we have it, what state we call it, we have a secular state. Now when we have a secular state, it means that every form of religion and non-religion has got to be changed. As and when it is
necessary. Now, we have individual views as commissioners, because we are presenting. But as a commission on gender equality, we believe that the Constitution guides us on that, and it is very, very clear that we do not live in a theocratic state, we live in a secular state, and therefore people who believe that they have to teach evolution, they have to do so. Others who believe that humanity has developed from a different source have a right to do that. But this is our guide. I really would like us not to get into this conversation, because it is a complex conversation, and I think we have decided as a country to simply keep ourselves what the Constitution says.
I'm raising this because when you go to the provinces, you will come across this and people will start asking questions on you. So I'm contentizing you so that you should know how to respond.
Thank you very much.
It's about the... Okay. Yeah, I think
if I can respond to the question of collaboration with NGOs. I think previously in the Gender Climate Reviews, the feeling was our interaction with NGOs and civil society had been very ad hoc and irregular. The interaction was more inviting civil society groups to come to our events. And I think we are re-strategizing on that, the relationship with NGOs. We're in fact discussing it at our next seminar next week. I think there's opportunity for a very complementary relationship. By our being drawn into the advocacy issues and issues that civil society groups are dealing with, we assist to elevate the status of the issues. While they can be raising issues and trying to secure the attention of policymakers, the status that we have and the powers that we have can serve to elevate those issues and ensure that the correct information is got. We can demand accountability and answers that mean civil society organizations would not be able to get. So we help strengthen and elevate the problems of issues. But conversely, the same thing happens with us as well. When we involve civil society groups, we elevate and strengthen our knowledge and understanding of issues. We're not experts on every dimension of the industry. It helps extend our outreach and reach into more diverse communities and deepen our knowledge and understanding of the kinds of issues of people within those communities, whether it's gay and religious communities or whether it's diverse and different cultural communities. So I think what we're going to see is a move from that ad hoc kind of interaction to a far more deliberate engagement. Set up collaborative relationships, for instance, to tell people officers and movements, so that that assist can bring in more complex and gender-related issues for us to deal with. Collaborate with different sectors on research processes, on dialogue, on conferences. We don't have to do everything ourselves. We deliver a better product when we do it collaboratively. So those are the kinds of issues that we need to see.
I've been informed that there's a committee that we should come up to this committee right now. Mm-hmm. And so we have to suspend our inspiration. But I think I must be able to do one time.
Thank you, Chair. What I wanted to indicate is that if one looks at the nature of how we run our workshop with the elements of civil society, our program are always structured in partnership with others, but giving different input based on the different mandates that we are carrying forward. We have actually never been trying to do things alone, but we have always been trying to do it with our partnership, including also the forums where we serve in, to involve the elements of civil society, because we value their importance. In terms of the program that we have attempted with the EU, the CISEP program, though it has not taken us a lot of what we had wanted to achieve from the design point of view, but a lot of the things that the commissioners are doing around how we can bring about an outreach strategy will definitely be addressed in the future.
That's me,
yeah.
On behalf of the chairperson. Apologize that they for the fact that they have not been able to go through the report because of the most important issues that we had to confront with during this process. But otherwise, we are hoping that when next we meet, we have enough time to look into all the issues that you have raised and all the issues that you wanted to raise which have appeared in this report. So we can say that then.
Thank you.
Okay, I invited for lunch at
I think it's a thing.